Okay, well, always a schluss to be together, to learn, to grow. I'm used to saying, like, good vach, everybody, but here it's Achana for Shabbos, Achana for Shabbos Kodesh, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And before we begin, I just want to say that all the Torah, all the Chizik, all the Zoras tonight is being shared. Bez Hashem, for a big schluss, for Refuah Shleima, for Besuras Tovos, for only good things, for Eliza Bas Margalit. The grandmother of one of the chevra who really needs big refuos, and if everyone could take down her name to daven for her, and share her name, that we should have her in our tefillos, Eliza Bas Margalit. And Mirt Hashem, well, the Torah, the Chizuk Zoros should be a very big schluss. And we're just entering, it's very famous, that the month of Iyar is a very special time for refuos, and we just entered into the month of Iyar. As the letters for Iyar, Aleph, Yud, Yud, Reish, B'Rashi Tevus, is known as Ani Hashem Rofecha. Aleph is Ani, Yud Yud is Hashem, Rofecha. I am Hashem, your healer. And Emir Hashem, the schus of this month, the schus of our Torah, the schus of Eliza Bas Margalit's incredible family, who are very, very, very special people, incredible people. Shbizoychet Rufuos and Yeshuas Bakarov. You know, often during the days of Sviras HaOmer, you constantly find people asking each other, when focusing on Svira, there's this question, like, are you still in? You know, am I still in? Generally just meaning, can you continue to count Svira with a bracha? Because we all know famously, we paskin, that if you miss one night and the following day of counting Svira, you no longer could make a bracha on Svira. Now first of all, by the way, that doesn't mean you can't continue to count Svira. Even if you miss an entire day, a night, and the following complete day, you should for sure continue to count Svira. Should for sure count Svira. Though most poskim hold that each day is its own mitzvah. We're choshesh, we're worried like the Bahag, that it's one big mitzvah, but ultimately you should count every day just without a bracha. And that's for women as well. Even though obviously you're putter, mitzvah zaseh, shazman, grama, noshim, peturos, women are completely putter. And we have a Mishnah Brura that even potentially suggests women shouldn't even try to count with a bracha because, you know, they're very, very often that a woman's going to forget one night. She doesn't have the same chiyuv to daven ma'ariv, which is a built-in reminder to count Svira. And she doesn't have the chiyuv, so she's not worried about it as much as a man. Bottom line is, in this day and age, there are so many reminders, right? We all have phones and get like 15 reminders a night about 10 people's statuses and texts. And so it's somewhat hard to forget if it's not maybe Friday night, Shabbos Kodesh. My family, all my girls, they sleep. They got these like pillow. I don't know if you've seen these pillowcases, where it has every some woman puts out pillowcases and mamish, and every single night, and you check off each night on the pillowcase. So even if you didn't count all night, by the time you go to sleep, you look, you see it right there. But this constant discussion, and really, there's such a focus on counting Sviras HaOmer. But sometimes the focus on counting Sviras HaOmer causes one to lose sight on how precious these days are, whether one has counted or not, whether one's in on the counting and counted every single night or not. These are very, very precious days of growth. These are very big days of growth. Days to work on ourselves. The days between Pesach and Shavuos to prepare for Kabbalah's Torah. We all know famously we're on the 49th level of Tumah, and therefore each day trying to grow and be metar ourselves. And I believe that's, you know, obviously, not to say, obviously the mitzvah Sviras HaOmer is Kodesh, but it's just as important that we're tapping into the Kedusha of these days, tapping into the power of these days, tapping into what these days have to offer us. And it's interesting, when we focus on the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer and we read the Psukim, it seems to be, there's a tremendous emphasis on Shabbos. Tremendous emphasis on Shabbos. In fact, when do we count Sviras HaOmer? The second day of Pesach. But in the Psukim, it calls Pesach Shabbos. Usvartem lechem mimachras haShabbos. Interesting, there's a lot spoken about that. And then it says, Miyom aviyachem es omer tumuva hatanufa sheva shabbosos tumimus. What do we count? Seven complete. We translate it as weeks. But we don't use the common word for weeks, Shavuos. But Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos. We called the week Shabbos. They were counting seven Shabbosos. So again, and then what? Ad Mimachas HaShabbos HaShviyas. Tisburu Chamishim Yom. Until the end of that final week, again, Shabbos, we count 50 days and we come to Shavuos. So we see this incredible emphasis on Shabbos. And the counting itself is 7 weeks. Shabbos, we know, is the seventh day, obviously. So what is this emphasis of Shabbos that seemingly connects to Sfiras HaOmer? So I was thinking about it, and you know, the Gemara talks about a concept, a certain situation, when one can have a day that might potentially be the middle of the week and still celebrate Shabbos and have Shabbos. When is that? So Gemara says the following. It's Gemara in Shabbos. Daf Samach Tes. Omer of Huna. Hayimahalich bederech obamidbar. You're walking, you're journeying somewhere, perhaps in the desert. Ve'eino yodea imasai Shabbos. You lost count of when Shabbos is. You know, we just had this past week, Yom HaShoah. And the Yidden that were in the camps during that horrible time in our history, there are numerous stories of them, you know, keeping count, whether it's like scratches on the wall or some other means to make sure they know when it's Shabbos. Because they had no calendar and they had no reminder and they had no shul and they had... So here you have an individual that's mahalich b'derech b'midbar. We can't really, it's hard to comprehend, but it's possible. You know, man, you got stranded somewhere and you have no phone and you have nothing and ve'eino yodea imasa Shabbos. You don't know when Shabbos is. You lost count. What are you supposed to do in that case? You don't know what the day is. You don't know if today is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You don't know when Shabbos is. So Gemara has two potential answers. First sheet says, Mona Shisha, whatever day it is, count 6 days. I mean, as if that day is Sunday. U'mishamer Yom Echad, and then keep one day Shabbos. Whatever day you're up to, when you lost count, you realize you lost count, today's day one, and your seventh day will be Shabbos. Chia Barav, Omer, Chia Barav says, Mishamer Yom Echad. No, that, keep Shabbos. That day. That's Shabbos. Umona Shisha. And then count 6 days. And this is based on how do you look at things. Do you look from perspective of creation of the world? But my kamifligi, what are they arguing about? Mar sovar kriyaso sha'olam. Just like the creation of the world. You had 6 days and then the seventh day Shabbos. So count 6 days and celebrate Shabbos the seventh day. Umar sovar ka Adam Arishon. No. You should be like Adam Arishon. What did Adam Arishon? He wasn't really born. He was created and brought into the world on Friday, and the very first day of his life, he kept that night. He kept Shabbos right away. So do we keep Shabbos right away, and then 6 days, and then Shabbos again? But what do we see from this Gemara? Very interesting Gemara, right? Your chance of getting it right is 1 in 7. Pretty low. If you were a gambling individual, which no one should be, but that's pretty low odds, 1 in 7. Not good chances. Not somewhere where you should put your money down. Right? Somewhere about 14 to 15% that you are correct. Pretty low. But the Gemara Paskins, that's Shabbos for you. The Gemara Paskins, that's Shabbos. What is that telling you? There's mamish, a Shabbos that we could, somehow the Gemara is telling you, you could take a day that's weekday and turn it into Shabbos. That's what you're doing. That's what we're creating. And the Sefer Omer Tanufa says that so too during Sfiras HaOmer. We're constantly calling the days of Sfiras HaOmer Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, that during Sfira, the goal, the aspiration, is that every day is Shabbos. Every day is Shabbos. We're turning the weekdays, the days of the Vach, the days of the week into Shabbos. Shabbos Tuchol. And we have to understand what that means. Obviously, this past week was Sfiras HaOmer. Right now, Sfiras HaOmer, we're not keeping Lametas Malachos. We're not having Shabbos Seudas. We're not lighting candles. None of that is going on. What is this Shabbos of the week? What does it mean? Yes, we see this Gemara that tells us there's such a idea, there's such a concept. And we see that the terminology of Shabbos is used over and over again. What does it mean? What does it mean? We understand Shabbos. Every one of us looks so forward to Shabbos. We love Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, how we're willing to sacrifice for Shabbos. You know, very often we have such busy weeks and such crazy weeks and such weeks full of responsibility and weeks dealing with so many different things. And then how much do we look forward to Shabbos? I can't tell you this week how much I'm looking forward to Shabbos. I've been dealing with just... it's a lot, a lot. A lot of people's lives, a lot of situations, a lot of things going on. Mesh Hashem, we should have B'sur Tovos and good things. But I'm not just telling my wife tonight. I don't remember last time. I can't wait for just Shabbos, Menucha. Shabbos. But what does that mean during the week? That's beautiful. For Shabbos, we understand, we feel it. The Kedusha, you know what the Kedusha of Shabbos? The Kedusha of Shabbos is life-altering. The Kedusha of Shabbos gives us chias, gives us life. Mamish. I think I shared the story. I was just thinking about it the other day, especially with everything going on in Yisrael, but there was a particular reason. The man that I know, I shared this before, but the man that I know, I don't want to give too many details, because when I told this story once before in a shir with details, somehow it got back to the Israeli army, Emes, this is Emes Babito, and they got in touch with this individual and basically told him that he has to have that, find out and get this taken down because it's dangerous for his life. Like, this guy was very successful in the army, and he was matzliach in saving a lot of Jews, but by obviously taking care of our enemies, and they want him, you know. And he no longer is living in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't want to give too many details, but he grew up irreligious. He grew up irreligious in a different country, and he went on a birthright trip and fell in love with Eretz Yisrael and decided to stay and join the army. And he worked his way up in the army, and he became a commander eventually. And one day, it was a Friday, and he was sent and told to take his troops, and he had a mission to... there was intel about a particular terrorist that was walking by. I think it might have been in Gaza. I don't remember. It was an Arab location. He was taking over. His mission was to take over a house in this Arab location. And I think this was in Gaza, but I'm talking in Gaza. The story happened maybe 15 years ago. At least, I don't know. Maybe a little less, somewhere 10 to 15 years ago. And he took over. They took over the house, him and his troops, and they were supposed to watch through the windows of this house, and they had intel that there was going to be a terrorist walking by that house, and their job was to take care of the terrorist, to annihilate the terrorist. And he sets up his soldiers by all the way. They take over the house. It was an empty house. And they take over the house, and he tells his soldiers where to take up their spots, and they're waiting for an hour, for 2 hours. It's a Friday afternoon. And then right as Shkia is hitting, right as sunset is hitting, he sees a couple of his soldiers leave their position, leave their posts, and they go into a corner in the room where they were. Imagine a room with a few different places with windows, and two or three of the soldiers go into this corner. And he goes to them to, like, what are they doing? He didn't tell them to leave their posts. The terrorists might walk by. And he goes and starts screaming at them, get back your posts. He says, and they say, no, we need 2-3 minutes. One of them says, my father made me promise and told me that even in the army, even though there are times when I'm going to have to be in the army and be a soldier and be involved on Shabbos, but I always have to make Kiddush when it's Shabbos. And my Kiddush should be Mekadesh the Shabbos. Is going to be a Shmira. It's going to watch over me. It's going to protect me. So no matter what, and he had with him, he used to carry with him when he knew it was going to be Shabbos, like a little grape juice in a cup. And he was going to make Kiddush. That's all. He just wanted to make Kiddush, and he's going to go back to the post. And the soldier, the commander, starts screaming, and he wasn't religious at the time yet. Eventually, he was Chozer B'Tshuva, part of it, based on this story. few other incredible stories. And he starts screaming, yelling, get back to your post, forget about Kiddush, we have to take out the terrorists, we have a job to do. And they're like, no, just 2 minutes. He says, if you don't go right now, I'm going to court-martial you. He's going to tell on, right? They could be get in big trouble if you're not listening to your commander. And they don't listen, they don't care, they wanted to make Kiddush. He takes out a piece of paper, pad, he writes down their names, the exact time this is occurring. They finish Kiddush, they go back to their post. About an hour later, this commander gets a call from his commander, abort the mission, you know, we have different intel, the terrorist is gone, come back. This happens at times, right? Things change, people's plans change. So they come back, and they get back to Eretz Yisrael, and to the station where the troops were, whatever it was, and they go in and they have this, like, makeshift station set up with all video screens, and his commander is there. And he comes in and his commander starts yelling at him. Why didn't you guys take out the terrorists? He says, what do you mean? We were there for hours. The terrorists never came by. Of course the terrorists came by. You didn't take him out. He started in a very harsh voice. And then in the middle, he like calms down. And he says, thank God you didn't take out the terrorists because you would have all been dead. He says, what do you mean? Realized later, we found out that they were onto us. And they were setting up, and it was all a ploy, that if you would have shot one shot at the terrorists, they had people everywhere, and they weren't going to take out the entire house. They just had no idea where you were. They would have killed all of you. So thank God you didn't, but why didn't you take out the terrorists? I still need to understand. We didn't tell you to stop. He says, because we never saw the terrorists. So somehow they had, you know, so they had cameras everywhere, whatever it was. He shows them on video, the terrorists walking right by the house that they took over, that they were ready to shoot at. So this commander, he looks closely at the time on the video when the terrorists walk by. He takes out his pad of paper and he sees the exact minute that the terrorists walked by was exactly when those soldiers left their post to make Kiddush. And that's why they missed the terrorists and didn't see him. And if they would have, they all would never have been living to tell the story. And he realized it was Shabbos. It was the Kedusha of Shabbos. And their desire to be Moser Nefesh even for Shabbos. It saved all of their lives. That was one of the stories that he took to heart and caused this commander to be Chozer B'Tshuva. Today he's Shomer Torah Mitzvos with a beautiful family. He's had to learn for many years. Maybe still is, I'm not sure. I'm not in touch with him these days. Once in a while, but rare. So we understand the Kedusha of Shabbos. We all live Shabbos. We all feel Shabbos. Like really, what do we have if we don't have Shabbos? I mamish, I say it all the time. I'm mamish, if you know me well, I'm not a racist or anything, but I when I see the Umas HaOlam, I just feel bad for them that they don't have Shabbos. I can't imagine what it is to live in this world without Shabbos. Like another day where you could be on your phone all day, another day where you're connected to everything out there in the world and all the distractions of the world all day. Not to have one day to break to just breathe, to be with your family, to be with yourself, to be with Hashem. But what does it mean, this concept, by Sfiras Omer, that somehow every day should be Shabbos? What do you mean every day should be Shabbos? What does that mean? How could that be? Every day of Sfiras Shabbos? Okay, this Gemara in the desert is a nice concept because you have no other way to do it, right? You're stuck in the desert, you don't know when Shabbos is. You want to be able to connect to Shabbos, so you keep Shabbos at some particular time. But what does it mean that Tzvira is a time of Shabbos? So I want to share an idea I learned years ago from Avram Shor. It's actually another, Tzvira Omer is found in Parshas Emor. There's another pasuk in Parshas Emor, right before Tzvira Omer, just a few psukim earlier, talking about Shabbos. The beginning of Parak Chav Gimel, the Pasuk says, the third Parak in Parshas Emor and Parak Chav Gimel, the third Pasuk. Sheshes Yomim Te'ase Melacha, Ubiyom Hashvi Shabbos Shabboson. 6 days Te'ase Melacha, we'll get back to that word in a minute. And on the seventh day it should be Shabbos Shabboson. There are a few times in the Torah it doesn't just call Shabbos, but it calls it Shabbos Shabboson. It's double Shabbos. Why a double Shabbos? So Rav Shor explains
and others say this as well, I've seen. Any time, this is found also in Parshat Ki Sisa and Vayakel, any time there's a Lashon of Shabbat, Shabbason, it always is introduced by a Lashon of Te'aseh or Ye'aseh Malacha. And I'm no expert in Diktuk, but if you guys, maybe some of you are, some of the Lashon Sekanios, Te'aseh is different than Taseh. Te'aseh means, or Ye'aseh means, not to do work for 6 days, but for 6 days your work will be done for you. Your work will be done for you. What does that mean, your work will be done for you? Work is done. I mean, it is done. Not you should do, but it is done. As if it's done for you. For 6 days, work is done. No, 6 days, do work. Sheshes yom ta'avod. That means 6 days, you should work. But that's not what it says here. 6 days, work is done. Why?
Listen to what he explains so beautifully. There's this famous Gemara in Brachos Lamed Hey. And there's a famous Machlokas in Brachos Lamed Hey, where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel argue about the ways of life. And Rabbi Shmuel says that every person, of course, should learn Torah, but you also have to get a job, you have to support your family, you have to earn a living. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if you're going to be working, you're going to be plowing, you're going to be planting, you're going to be taking care of it. In this day and age as well, whatever, fill in the blank of whatever your vote is. When are you going to have time to learn? You're not going to have any time to learn. Sit and learn all day and Hashem will take care of you. That's what he says to do. The Gemara there, Paskins, like we do, Har B'yasuk, Rabbi Shimon will also be Yadam, that many people tried to do like Rav Shimon and sit and learn all day. It didn't work, meaning they had no parnasan. In other words, where most people are supposed to be like Rabbi Shmuel. And that means, of course, learn as much as you can, but get a job and support your family. It's an achrayus, it's a responsibility. That's what the Gemara says. But we see there is this machlokas and there's a concept for tzaddikim and for those who have tremendous amunah. And the Marshal says it's for the, you know, the gedolim, the tzaddikim, those who have complete amunah bitachon Hashem, that if they really are so in touch and connected to the Rabbanu Shalom with full amunah, they don't have to work. They just sit and learn and do mitzvahs, and Hashem will provide. And then you have Beroivam, the large majority of people, that of course need to put in ishtablis, need to put in work, and obviously learn as much as they can. So Rishur says, all these times when the Pesukim talk about Shabbos, Shabbason, they all are connected to Te'aseh Melacha or Yaseh Melacha. They're all connected to the individuals who, because they're so connected to Rabbi Shalom, because they're so one with Hashem, because they have so much Emunah and Bitachon, they don't have to work like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What happened? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave in the Ma'ara, and the boxer tree, right, the carob tree grew, a little stream was created. Hashem took care of him for all those years. And there are other individuals like that, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. Individuals like that, where Te'aseh Melacha, your work is done for you. You don't have to work, it's done for you. So individuals like that, in a certain sense, all week is Shabbos. All week already is Shabbos. I'm sitting and learning and davening, I'm not doing work. Hashem takes care. For those Jews, Shabbos then is Shabbat Shabbason. Shabbos has to be on a much higher level. Shabbos Shabbason, that's all the Pesukim are talking about, those Jews. So that's big Tzaddikim, that's big Talmid HaChacham, and that's big Nashim Tzikanios. What does that mean for you and I? Maybe some of you, not myself, to be on such a level. You know, there was once a young woman, and she got engaged, she had a chasen, mazel tov, and she brings her chasen home to her parents, and they have dinner together, and you know, the mother tells the father, you know, you should really sit down with the chasen, find out what his plans are, find out what he plans on doing in the future. So he has a heart to heart, he sits down with his future son-in-law. He says, tell me, what are your plans for the future? I sit and learn Torah. I'm a Torah scholar. Torah scholar. And how are you going to provide for my daughter? How are you going to eventually
purchase a house? How are you going to put food on the table? He says, don't worry, I'm going to learn Torah and Hashem will provide. How are you going to buy her a ring, a nice ring? How are you going to provide her a nice thing? I'm going to learn Torah and Hashem will provide. He says, what about B'sha Tova? You're going to be zocher to have children, Bezer Hashem, and you're going to have to send them to school, you're going to have to buy them clothing, you're going to have to buy them food. Don't worry, I'm gonna learn Torah and Hashem's gonna provide. Okay, they have this conversation. He didn't want to judge his future son-in-law too deeply yet, you know, start on, but he's a little taken aback. He gets back to his wife. His wife says, "No, so how did it go? How was the discussion? What's the story?" Husband and father says to the wife, "The bad news is our future son-in-law, he has no job, he has no prospects for job. He has no desire to have a job. The good news is, he thinks that I'm God." So that's, you know, that's big, big, big tzaddikim could live like that. Big, big, big tzaddikim, but that's not for most of us. That's for Reb Shimon Bar Yochai Tzadikid, right? Most of us have to figure out how we're going to earn parnasa, and we can't have all week Shabbos. So now suddenly we have a certain individual like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and the likes, that now we can understand the concept maybe of Shabbos all week long for them. But what does that mean for you and I? I'll tell you what I think and believe it means. Even if you and I, on a practical level, have to still, during the week, live a life where we work and we earn parnasa, where we deal with all the responsibilities of life, where it may not feel like Shabbos, as far as what Shabbos is to us. But where does that, the Shabbos of the week of a Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, where does that come from? It comes from, like we said, a tremendous emunah and bitachon. It comes from understanding that everything comes from Hashem, and that if I truly believe and I truly do everything that's right, Hashem's going to provide for me. So I understand, Arya Cohen understands, I'm not on that level. But even with our hishtadlus, if we still know in the end of the day, everything is provided by the Rabbanu Shalom. In the end of the day, with all of my hishtadlus, in the end of the day, with all of my effort, in the end of the day, it's from Hashem. Because I could put on all the effort in the world and I still have nothing. But I know, in the end of the day, all that I'm provided with is from Hashem. And all the bracha in this world is from Hashem. All my parnasa in this world is from Hashem. All the refuah in this world is from Hashem. All those who find their shiduchim in the right time and it should be for everybody, it's from Hashem. And I live with that and I believe that. And I have complete emun and bitachon in that. And I'm living Shabbos dik all week long. Even if I'm doing malacha. And even if I'm working, because I'm not on that level where I could ignore the normal hishtadlus, the normal effort. But if I still recognize with tremendous emunah b'tachon that it's all from Hashem, and whatever I do is just what I need to do because I'm in a world of teva, I'm really in a certain sense above the world all week long. You know what I'm ready for as well? When I live like that, if something doesn't exactly go my way, and if with my hishtadlus I don't end up with the parnasa that I'm looking for, and I don't end up immediately in the time that I'd like with the shidduch I'm looking for, and I don't end up in my perceived fashion exactly with the refuah I'm looking for immediately, but I have such complete hisvadlus, nullification to the Rabbanu Shalom, that I know it's all from above, I know it's all from Hashem, I'm willing to be makabel, and I live with the menuchas hanefesh of that bitachon all week long, because I know kol ma dav rachman al tav of it. Everything Hashem does ultimately is for good. He has a grander plan. He has the ultimate plan. And my timing and my desires might be somewhat off. What do I know? Shabbos is menucha. Yom Shabbos, Yom Menucha. Why is Yom Shabbos, Yom Menucha? What is menucha? Menucha is rest. That doesn't just mean physical rest. It is a day of physical rest on some level. There's something to that. Most of us get a little bit more sleep on Friday night. We're able to maybe lay down for a few minutes. But menucha is so much bigger than that. It's menuchas ha-nefesh. is a day of calm, day of tranquility. Why is that? Because it's a day where I have complete emunah b'tochen Hashem. On Shabbos, I do no work. I know it's all from Hashem. I'm reminded of that. That same mindset, that same, whether I'm Rav Shimon bar Yochai Tekiyit or not, I'm a Rav Shmuel Tekiyit. I am working. I am going to work. And sometimes crazy hours and crazy situations. And I'm on my phone. I'm doing malacha. I'm doing yishtadlus. But the same mindset, with that same understanding that it's all from Hashem, that we all can have, can give me the menucha all week long, as if I'm in Shabbos. And every day could be a day of Shabbos. And then I get to Shabbos, it's Shabbos, Shabbason. It's on a whole different level. On Shabbos, I'm actually not doing all that malacha that I'm bound to because I'm a Rabbi Shmuel Tekiyit. And I'm mamish like those tzaddikim. And Nashin Tzikonios. And I'm so grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I live like that. I'm so grateful. I have such hodah. I know it's all from Hashem. That's why you read the beautiful paragraph of Tillim that we start Shabbos with. We're Makabel Shabbos. We Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What do we say right away when we enter into a world of Shabbos? The world of Shabbos is not just that timing. It's my mentality of Shabbos. It's Shabbos dik mentality. Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Toiv Lahaydos LaHashem. Ulzamer El Shem Chalion. Right away, I have Odot Hashem because I'm realizing it's all from above. I see Baboker when it's the morning and there's clarity. I see your Chesed and I feel it. But a Shabbos Degiyid, a Shabbos mentality, is even in the dark of night, even when it's not clear, even when the situation is grave and difficult. Even when the person in my life who I love so deeply is suffering and I don't understand why, because I have a Shabbos mentality. It's a Shabbos mentality. And that Shabbos mentality brings me menucha. And that Shabbos mentality comes from that deep emunah. You know, it's so interesting. I'm Amish. I'm just thinking right now. I never put this together. The menucha and amuna are almost exactly the same letters, right? Meaning they both have a nun, vav, mem, hey. Amuna and menucha both have a nun, vav, mem, and hey. The difference is the aleph and ches. So Bigmatria, obviously, the whole difference between Menucha and Amuna is 7, which is Shabbos, right? The 7th day, 7 is all Shabbos. Meaning when you have Amuna on Shabbos, Amuna plus the 7, which is Shabbos, the Amuna of Shabbos equals Menucha. Equals Menucha. This came right now in the Schus of the Shir. But that's a Menucha, that's a mentality. It's a Shabbosic mentality that we can have all week long. All week long. That's the avodah of Sviras Omer. That's why it is. Every day we're supposed to be thinking about Shabbos. If one says the Yom every morning, that particular day at the end of Shachris, what do we start? Hayom Yom Rishon, L'Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni, L'Shabbos. Every day just looking forward to Shabbos. But maybe it's Hayom Yom Rishon of Shabbos. This is my. Maybe you could also learn that a little differently. It's not just Hayom Yom Rishon, L'Shabbos. It's the first day towards Shabbos. Hayom Rishon Shabbos, this is my first day of Shabbos. I mean, this is also Shabbos. Hayom Sheni Shabbos, every day could be Shabbos. And then Shabbos will be Shabbos, Shabboson. Shabbos will be Shabbos, Shabboson with this type of mentality. And all that we'll have is Odah for Hashem. And that's the days of Svira. The days of Svira are all Hachana for Kabbalah Torah. Which we're saying tonight is all about Shabbos and the Shabbos mentality. Which Shabbos mentality is that everything is from Hashem. Which is the ultimate Amunah. The Shabbos mentality that brings me Menucha. That's how I prepare to receive the Torah. Because then I'm going to give myself over to all the mitzvot, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the deepest of ways. That's what it is. Pasuk says also in Parshas Emor. Talking about giving thanks to Hashem, which is the consequence, a korban toda, thanking Hashem, the consequence of realizing it's all from Hashem. So the pasuk says in Perachav Beis and Parshas Emor, pasuk of Tes, v'chisiz b'chu zevach toda l'Hashem. When you bring this korban toda to Hashem, when you bring a toda, you give thanks because you realize it's all from Hashem. So the end of the pasuk says l'irtzonchem tizbachu, l'irtzonchem tizbachu. Chassam Sofer says l'irtzonchem are your desires. Your desires, which we think we're running the world, and I need to have that, I need to have this, and I think I'm going to orchestrate my life in the way that I think. Once you give it over to Hashem, your own desire to spell, you'll sacrifice your raton. Your desires, tizbachu, you'll sacrifice. They no longer exist. Hashem, you do what's best for me. Take care of me, you know what's best. That's the highest level of tefillah, by the way. So beautiful, right? We say Achas in Kapitel Chav Zayin of Tehillim, which we all know well because we say it every day of Elul, David Hashem Orev Ishi. And these words we know very, very well because there's many different songs. Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem osa v'akesh shifti me'es Hashem kol yimechaya. Beginning of that is very repetitive. Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem. There's one thing I ask of Hashem. There's one thing. Osa v'akesh, that which I want to ask. Shifti v'Hashem kol yimechaya, to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of his life. Those words, osa v'akesh, are completely superfluous, right? It should have said, Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem. There's one thing I ask of Hashem. Shifti v'Hashem kol yimechaya. What's osa v'akesh? That which I ask. You don't need those words. I don't remember who says this. I once saw this years ago. It's not my own. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem. You want to know what the highest feel is? There's one thing I ask of Hashem. Osa v'akesh, that which I should be asking for. I don't even know what I should be asking for. I think I know what's best for me. You know much better. When you totally give over your life to Hashem, you're able to daven like that. L'rtzonchem tizbachu. I totally sacrifice my ratzon for your ratzon. I say ratzoncha, ratzono. And that's a Shabbos mentality. When you have that level of emunah and bitachon, that it's all from Hashem like we do on Shabbos, and live with that all week long, even though I know I have to put in ishtadlus. It's a different life. You know, there was a young woman. She came from a non-observant family and not yet from family. Somehow she ended up in a Chinuch Atzmai school. Chinuch Atzmai is a Kiev organization. She was in a Kiev school. And she herself, this girl, became a Baal Teshuva. Her father had this big chandelier store. This is years and years ago. And all of the people in the family had to work in the store to make parnasa. And each child was given a different day. And of course, she was the one that was caring to be Shomer Shabbos. She gets Shabbos. And she doesn't know what to do. How she's going to, on one hand, she's Shomer Shabbos, she's keep Shabbos. But on the other hand, she's a young girl to disrespect her father and to say no. And it's going to be an entire fight in the family. None of them understood. None of them wanted her to be religious. They were like just going along with it for the most part. So she came up with the following plan. She said she's going to go and she's going to walk to the store and just stand behind the counter. But if anyone asks to purchase a chandelier when she's there, she's going to quote them like this incredibly crazy high price for the chandelier. So none of them will ever want to buy the chandelier. And then they'll walk away and Lameisa, she'll never have to actually do any business on Shabbos. She won't have to handle the money, she won't have to do. No one's going to ever buy it from her. So she's just walking and standing in the store for Shabbos. Okay, shkoyach. After a few weeks, her father caught on, like, every day he stole a few chandeliers. All right, the first week, one day you don't sell one. Every Shabbos, she's not selling anything. What's going on? So he decides he's going to spy on her. See what's happening. He's going to spy on her. And somehow he's spying on her, and he overhears a man comes in and asks for a particular chandelier, and the chandelier was supposed to be $180. And she quotes $1,000 for this, let's say, $180 chandelier. And the guy's like, really, this chandelier? No way. How could it be? Yeah, that's what it is. It's very special, whatever. And he's a little bit upset, and he walks out. His father, like, pops out of somewhere and starts screaming at his daughter, I can't believe, why'd you do that? You lost the sale, he would have bought it. Do you know how much money we've lost? Okay. The next day, the owner was in the store. And the man comes back in the afternoon. He says, I looked all over. I fell in love with that chandelier. And I looked all over. I can't find it anywhere. I want to buy it for $1,000. The crazy lucrative price that she gave, he wants to buy it for. And he's blown away. He was all angry at his daughter. Now this man wants to pay like 6 times what it's worth for the chandelier, which is abnormal. And he realized this all had to be orchestrated by Hashem to teach him a lesson, to allow him to see that it's all from Hashem, and all the parnassah from Hashem, and that maybe there's something to Shabbos. And first he looked at the man and said, of course I'll give you the chandelier, but you don't have to pay that money. It was a mistake. It's only $180. He wouldn't take the extra money even. And he came back that night, and he apologized to his daughter in front of his whole family. He said, there's something that was orchestrated here. Hashem wants to teach us a lesson. We're all going to keep Shabbos. And he started keeping Shabbos from his daughter. But you and I, Baruch Hashem, you and I, we don't struggle with keeping Shabbos. We don't struggle with the Lametes Malachas per se. Nobody here would ever think about working on Shabbos, going on their phone on Shabbos. There are people who do struggle with that. It's sad for them, because they don't feel and understand the beauty, and they're missing out. If only people would be able to give over them the beauty of Shabbos, they'd want it, they'd be running to it. That's for another time. I think our avoda during Sfiras HaOmer specifically, as we're saying, but always, it's be mechazik our Shabbos mentality. To be mechazik the understanding that it's all from Hashem. Mechazik the Amuna, just like on Shabbos we know it's all from Hashem, so to us. And even if we are working, and even if we are putting in plenty of avoda all week long, we could still have that mentality. And if we have that mentality, we're going to have menucha. We're going to have the proper calm. Menuchas ha-nefesh. Menuchas ha-guf. We give it all over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bez Hashem is Baruch. That's avoda of Sfira, and we'll be able then to prepare to be Makabal Torah and Lirtzonchem Tizbachu, say it's all whatever, Eibishter, what you want me to do, I want to do for you. Whatever I want that I know it's meaningless, all my taivas and all my, it's all you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Bizaycha, you know what you'll find? The most incredible simcha in the world, that menucha is simcha, with that Shabbos mentality, and that's the avodah. So whether we're still in with a bracha, not with a bracha, whether we're counting, not counting, connect to the Kedusha of these days. Live a life of Shabbos during these days. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, 7 complete weeks. Let's keep the Shabbosos of the weeks. Let's keep the Shabbos every single day. Maybe in that Tzchus will be Zoyecha Tiyoyim Shekula Shabbos, with the Gula that we're davening for and waiting for so deeply, Gula Shlema, Beprat, for all those who need Yeshuos and Refuos, for ultimately, for obviously all the Yidden Eretz Yisrael and all the hostages that we don't stop davening for, and all the Chayalim, for the Gula Shlema, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mheira, B'yaminu. B'mheira, a beautiful Shabbos.